Hey, remember to subscribe and follow my podcast so when I release a new episode, you get a notification. And follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. I am very active on there. Have a great day and enjoy the episode. So the more and more and more that I look out and I see the change of everything, the more I realise that nothing stays the same. Things are forever moving. Even my beliefs, everything I thought was real turns out to be not real. And it was just how I was looking at the situation. Like, for example, my dad's born on the 14th. My mum's born on the 21st. I'm born on the 28th. I thought there was some kind of pattern connection there. And I went on my whiteboard and I looked up the full moon when they were born. I linked all the moon pattern and I realized that there's no connection between their birthdays all being on a pattern of seven. And it has no connection because the calendar was based on the moon, but the moon has no connection to the calendar. There's no connection, even though it was
created. No connection whatsoever.
So the person who created the calendar did it based on the moon cycle, right? But I've gone back and I've written down months and months and months and years of the cycle of the moon. And I've realized that it's all random. Every month has no connection to the next month, has no connection to the years. It's random. In terms of the universe of millions of years, the cycle when there's no connection whatsoever.
What inspired you to do the research?
Huh?
What inspired you to do the research?
Well, when I was 21, I was enlightened and I started to work out stuff and see things. And I saw my parents were equal and I was equal and I became them and I was the same force. And so my mum was 21, I was 28. And I thought, wow, everything's connected. Like, we're all linked. We're just part of the past moving forward. So 7, 7, and 7. And then people would say to me, why is your sister the third? And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. Why is she the third? And I was always convinced that my sister has to be with somebody who's born in a pattern of seven and her boyfriend is 21. And I found somebody who's my twin flame, who's on the 28. And it was all confirmations of everything I knew was correct. But then I was realizing, well, there's also other people who I know who have a pattern of seven and their parents aren't patterns of seven too. And if you flip it, they're not patterns of seven. Like my girl, her parents are both 19, but she's 28. And it was like, well, everything I'm believing is nonsense. And so I had to understand if there's going to be a connection, it's going to be based on when they were born. And if the calendar is to do with the moon, I need to understand what the moon was when they were born. And there wasn't whole moons when they were born. The moon shapes were different. And I put it onto the calendar and I worked out the cycle of how often a full moon is. And to cut it short, no matter what year we're in, what month we're in, it's always 29 or 30 days until the full moon cycle. Mm-hmm. And I realized I couldn't find a connection between the calendar and the 14/21/28 and the moon. And if calendar is man-made, but this energy stuff is to do with the universe, I have to find a connection with the moon some way. And I couldn't. And so I basically said to my parents, this pattern of seven stuff I've always believed is bollocks because it has no connection. I can't find a single link. And the only link I had was 7 times table, 7, 14, 21, 28.
Why did you always have that connection to that pattern? Where did that start?
Well, I realized that everything's connected.
Mm-hmm.
So I fell in love and we were on the same frequency. It was like, then I was seeing that my parents are the same force. So they love and then they hate as hard. So, you know, the lion cub gives as much love, but it also fights off the male lion. So the equal was like negative and positive. And then I saw my dad was 14, my mum was 21, and I was 28. And I haven't realized that. I never saw the link. And then people were saying that life goes in patterns of seven. And then the cycle of seven at school. So junior school, 7 years, secondary school, 7 years. And then, so I just sort of linked everything as seven. But then it always bugged me how my sister was a three and I couldn't explain it. And 7 years later, if you don't work something out, it still niggles in the back of your head, basically. And I thought, like, I'm going to put this to bed. My sister's boyfriend, her parents were patterns of seven and her sister was a pattern of seven. And I believe that I was the only human on the planet who had parents also pattern of seven because it's also the strength of the energy. And because I've got such high energy, I thought, no way can any other human have the same energy as me. And then when he said all his parents are seven, it was like, well, what I said was bollocks. And I was so convinced, like, ghosts exist.
Why were you so convinced?
What, that ghosts exist or the pattern of seven thing?
About the pattern of seven.
Because I didn't have a way to, I couldn't find
explain something.
In my belief.
Yes.
It's like, you know, Einstein, if he believes that relativity is whatever, unless somebody comes along and says, no, Einstein, this is not correct, you believe it because it's like the last thing you worked out. And so I'd worked out to that point, and that was it. I had no reason to judge it.
Gotcha. I mean, you're spot on, man. And life is ever evolving and ever changing. And that's something, as something becomes more apparent every year that goes past in my life. Every year that goes by, my life changes drastically. My personality almost changes drastically. Everything's constantly evolving and moving. Like 10 years ago, I would have told you that I would have settled down with someone in my mid-20s, gotten an office job, done the 9-to-5, done that 5 days a week, and I would have lived out the rest of my life doing that, living in suburbia in Sydney, Australia. And ever since then, my life has evolved massively. I've had like 2 evolutions. You know, my life has completely changed twice. So who knows how many more times that's going to happen. And that's the beautiful and amazing thing about life. You never know what's coming.
So to cut it short, what I realized from this is that if time doesn't exist, because that's based on how often the sun rises, if the calendar is based on the moon cycle, but the calendar has no connection to the moon, even though it was created based on the moon, what does that mean? It means you take everything away, you take away time, take away the days of the week. We are just here as a living thing, and we die when we haven't got enough water, sun, and nutrients, just like any other plant. And that anything we are doing is based on thought, which is based on our 5 senses, what we see around us, or our thoughts, which are made up of other people and what they saw from their 5 senses. So it's just this continuous pattern of their 5 senses, their 5 senses, their 5 senses, going back millions of years. We're made up of that, plus our own 5 senses. And so we can choose to go to that tree with the yellow fruit or that tree with the orange fruit. And that's the same as you choosing to get on a plane to London or me choosing to get on a plane to America. It's simply a choice. And that's really, there is nothing else in life apart from just to go with our thoughts and our feeling to balance ourselves up. Sadly, that's all there is to life. I worked it out.
Well, I guess, I think you're right. And I guess a way to try and combat that is, you know, or maybe not combat it, but flow with it is, you know, the practice of meditation and letting go, non-attachment, and moving away from acting on your thoughts and feelings, and try and be unattached to things. Do you know what I mean? Practice non-attachment. So try and remove yourself from those thoughts and feelings. But yeah, I mean, the world is 100% just been run on thoughts and feelings. And it's getting to a very, very strange point now, the more technologically advanced we get. And now we're getting slingshot into the future. It's becoming quite strange.
See, what I realize is that if the Earth is just a bit of molten lava spat out from the sun, which is the same as Pluto, same as Mars, same as Jupiter, whatever, they're just different, they've just cooled at different levels based on when they were spat out. And that we're no different. And we just, life was created by, like, you know, water and sun, and it created life. And then we just kept evolving to survive.
Yes.
Then, if the Earth gets too close to the sun, we get too hot and we die. And if it gets too further away, we also die. So we just happen to be in the right part to keep the heat life creating.
And that also highlights the fragility of life, how little we are.
Yeah, and every problem is just simply in our heads, or it doesn't align up with what we are thinking in our heads. And we either just keep, you know, staying around these people and arguing, or we go and find people on the same vibration.
Yeah, man. You know, a lot of people are carrying around these crazy thoughts because we're conditioned from when we're so young, right? We now live in this society that's built around pressure and deadlines, and most of us live in a capitalistic structure. And that causes a lot of anxieties, a lot of stresses. And then so those people who are anxious and stressed from a day's work, they have kids, and then they pass it on to their kids, and these thoughts and build up. And I feel like society's snowballing a little bit in terms of its depression rates and the amount of people that are using prescription drugs just to feel sane. So you're right, those thoughts make up who we are and what society is. And And now that we're, I don't know, now that we're just getting to a point where we keep passing down these negative thoughts and it's just all becoming too much for society even. And I guess we're going to have to find a way to combat that if we want the future to look sane.
Yeah, so like all of our thoughts are what's keeping people depressed. And it's like, well, what are your thoughts? Yes. Why are they there? And it's your internal dialogue doesn't match the external dialogue. So now you're confused and you're trying to think and process and understand and work out why what I'm thinking is not what that person's saying. That's what my Tourette's was. It was just, I saw the world differently compared to what everyone else was saying it was. And so it's just constant analyzing for 21 years until I came off the medication of just, it doesn't make sense. And then I came off it and I was freely to think freely, and I worked everything out in actually 3 weeks that I couldn't work out for 15 years.
Wow.
The medication, it restricted my brain activity, which reduced the twitching, because the twitching was based on the brain activity.
It had that much of an impact on you, the drugs that they were giving you. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So you know, I've always twitched growing up. That's because my brain was always active. But then the medication when I was 12 was to stop the twitching, and so the more I take the medication, the less twitching, but really it's slowing the brain down, so there's less thinking, there's less twitching, so it's like medication works. But then if I don't take it, my brain gets enough energy to think again, which makes the twitching. And it was this constant battle of meds, thinking, and then 21, I came off the meds in 3 weeks, I'd worked out all my thoughts, I was in complete meditation, and there was no twitching for months and months and months. So I am strongly against all medication and believe that all meditation can cure all physical and mental disease, because I am living proof of that.
I'm on your page with that, man. I'm on your page with that, 100%. I've got a lot of friends who suffer from severe anxiety and varying levels of depression, and a couple of them have completely gone off their medication. And it's just eating healthy, exercising, meditating, doing all the simple things right, just living a healthy lifestyle. And that's completely turned them back around, and they're completely new people. And they say, I can't believe I even took the drugs for that long. But they can't believe it. And for you, I mean, it just sounds like you've had an entire evolution. You know, your brain activity was being suppressed for 15 years. Then all of a sudden you get off it and you can figure everything out because it's allowing your brain to actually work. And you're like, ta-da! You know, a new life. You were born again in that moment in a lot of ways.
Literally, it was like I'd been blind for 15 years and somebody saying, you're never going to see again. And all of a sudden I wake
good
up
for you,
and
ma'am.
I can see. That is exactly how I describe everything. I spent my whole life in my head, when I was going to bed, thinking, when I'm listening to teachers at school, thinking, when I'm at a party.
That must have been so mentally exhausting for you.
In a club, thinking. I was always thinking. I never knew what it was like to be at peace and to hear and to smell and to see things. It was like I was deaf, and it was exhausting. I should just be so tired all the time. And the tablets were making me tired anyway, because it was restricting my brain activity, let alone the thinking. I used to fall asleep at school. I need like 11 hours sleep. I used to be tired no matter what I did. Tired. And it all happened at the same time. I started to eat clean. I started to drink. I started to exercise. My spot, based on my thoughts. And so my spots, I had bad acne my whole life, boils on my head, and they disappeared at the exact same time. I stopped using like shampoo and soap because it was all man-made. Toothpaste, why do I need all this bollocks? It's just, it doesn't do anything. And it all happened at the same time. And I forgave people, and I paid all my debts, and I gave money back that I was owed. I got enough sleep. I as you said, I evolved so quickly overnight that it was like I became Jesus in 2,100 years, where it would take him 2,100 years. If that makes sense. I did it in like 3 weeks. No joke. The state of mindset, anyone can do it, literally.
Anyone can do whatever they put their mind to. That's been proven time and time again in history. So we were talking about, just before this started, about your profile picture, and I was saying you're in really good shape. You said it's just fasting, I think 16 hours, 2 meals a day, and then exercise. And so you're obviously very holistic in the way you approach everything. How did that evolution, eject you into that world, into being holistic, eating healthy, and just moving away from all that other stuff?
Growing up, I used to just eat what I wanted because I never got fat. So my dad's got very high metabolism. He never got fat. So I've seen my dad pretty much eat whatever he wants, anything. He hasn't put on weight. So naturally you think, okay, it's genetics, aka genetics are from our parents, which is also bollocks, as you know. So I thought, okay, well, if my dad can eat what he wants, I can too. So I used to eat anything and everything. Like, I wasn't even hungry, just eating at nighttime. Everything was eating, eating, eating. And I learned through knowledge of, for example, someone called Dr. Gundry about how putting grains in us and lectins, and certain foods have lectins, and lectins destroy the gut wall, which is where the microbiome is. And it gets into our autoimmune. And then we have all these other diseases like Crohn's and diabetes and eczema and stuff like that, and it all comes from food. So I started to change my diet and I lost so much weight. I just felt I had constant energy all the time. I have two meals a day. I have my same meal every day at 12 o'clock and then my mum's family meal, whereas before I was
eating. So do you do the 16, is it 16 8?
Yeah, then, so it's 12, yeah, 8. I stop eating at 8 o'clock at night time.
Yeah, I eat at 12
o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. And, I used to do that as well. That's great.
If I get hungry, I just drink water because it's just stomach acid building up and it neutralizes it. But I realized that I had same energy all day, every day, just on this food. And then I realized how much shit I used to eat and how tired and just like tired and drained I used to constantly feel. No matter how much sleep I used to get, I used to nap in the afternoon. It was just, I mean, all you're doing is going back to the basics of life, which is animals eat the berries when they don't eat KFC and you know, fucking McDonald's. You're just going back to the basics of our cells are what that plant is. Give your plant, give your cells what the plant needs. It's just the same. And so really it's common sense, but it's just the knowledge which is the hard part, because I could tell everyone my 21-day system, which is, you know, drink the water, sleep, eat clean, you know, don't have any curtains. And people will become enlightened like me in 3 weeks. I can guarantee it, because what I was like before is what everyone else is like now. So doing what I'm doing will get you to the same results. But it's just that knowledge, which is the hard part. And then breaking that pattern of how the fuck am I not going to eat for 16 hours? Like, how do I do it? And it was hard when I first started to fast because you're angry. But then you realize, okay, rather than eating, drink water. Trust that that feeling of hunger will go if you drink. And I've been doing it for a year and exactly about a year now when I moved to London about a year ago.
It gets very easy after a while, doesn't it? It's only the first few days where you're a bit hungry. And then after that, you completely forget about it, and it's just, it's easy to do, and you do have a lot of energy. I know exactly what you mean, man.
Yeah, your body goes through a whole detox of having chocolate and crisps and sugar and just bullshit, carbs and grains and bread and
for like
your whole damn life. Literally,
from when
your parents give you sandwiches, they give you milk, and we're not supposed to have milk and grains. Like, grains aren't supposed to be in our body.
We're not supposed to have 99% of the things that are in our diet.
Literally, 99% of a human diet now is full of lectins. And you're left with things that aren't lectins, like olives, few nuts, seeds and stuff. Most of
all fruits and vegetables are genetically modified.
Yeah, like now. Tomatoes, lectins, peppers, lectins, beans, lectins.
Crazy. Everything.
Lectins. It's everything. Like lectins. And we've just evolved and followed the patterns and not really asked where we came from. Why did Einstein say that something relatively? And he's like, well, we don't know, he's dead. So it's like, well, does it even exist? Like my pattern of seven thing. It's just a belief we once had, which we didn't question enough to find flaws. And I believe that if a man has created something, it's because man stopped looking. And if man kept questioning, you'd always find the opposite, like Laurel, Yenny, blue dress, gold dress. You know, people see blue or gold. Well, if half the people see blue and gold, half the fucking world is made up of two things anyway, which means nothing is ever just one. Nothing is one. Butter's good, butter's bad. Alcohol's good, red wine's bad. Brown bread's good, white wine's bad. It always counteracts. You're always like chasing the casinos. Like every time the number comes in, you put the money down and then you put the money down after it comes in. But that has no reflection on the past. That what's going to come in is no reflection to what came in. And you're looking at the roulette thing of cold numbers, hot numbers. It has no connection. Like the calendar has no connection to the moon. Even though it was based on the moon, there is no connection to the moon. Like the numbers, you know, the numbers and the months and the years and the days, it's just full moon after 29 days, 30 days. Sometimes it's 30, 30, 30, 29, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 29, 29. Mm. It's random. There's no repeating pattern. The moon's going to be whole in 30 days, 29 days, based on energy, based on the sun, based on other factors in the universe, which we have no control over. It's just, there's no relevance to the calendar at all.
Mm. So what concept have you used to replace that concept?
That we are just vibration based on ancestor thoughts and what we see from our five senses. And if, for example, I'm looking at a banana and I want an orange, I'm going to go towards the orange. And if I want a banana, I'll eat the banana. If I'm in meditation, there's no thoughts. It's just that is a banana and an orange. So we are just thoughts moving towards our thoughts until we achieve that. It's like we are horny until we come. Now what? Well, that's just it. Until we get horny again, then we're nothing. So it's just that moving towards our thoughts until we get it. Like when we eat, we are hungry, and then we get food and we're happy. The lion goes off to find the mate for days, and then he comes and then he's happy. It's just that continuous cycle of need, want, energy attracting, sperm, egg, night, day. And then we're just here as awareness beings, just moving towards our thoughts. And if we have no thoughts like I did, there's no drive. There's just get up in a mountain. Whereas if he was an entrepreneur, he'd be creating businesses and he can go back to meditation and have no mind and no brain activity. So literally we're just here until we die. A plant will live if it has sun and water. And if it doesn't, then it will die. And then that's the end of it.
What do you think our purpose is?
There isn't any purpose. We make ourselves have purpose, but really, in the grand scheme of things, we're just a fish swimming and eating, and if there's no food, then we die. And it's hard for people to accept that we're here literally just by chance.
I think that's most likely, for sure.
Just by chance of just being able to, find food reserves, like grains and stuff, because, like, you know, we survive by having food. So it's like, well, if all these grains are keeping us alive, then bread's our staple food. Rice is our staple food, but it's like, are we really supposed to be eating this? No, but we survived. And the whole point of evolution is to survive. And then we've just evolved from like having all these grains, and we're not supposed to be eating grains. Like, grains are the worst for us. And yet all we eat is fucking grains, sandwiches every day for lunch. Every day, sandwich. It was like,
garbage.
Well, the only nutrients I'm getting is this slice of ham in this thick bit of bread. How is that going to do anything to my body when I'm full up? That's because the bread expands inside you when water gets to it. So you feel full. But then after, say, 10 minutes, that bread just breaks down. And it's like, well, was there anything in my stomach? So we're not eating anything.
Mm.
I showed my dad, I put an olive and a nut in a glass of water. And I put some bread in a glass of water. And I said, this is why you get full up after a sandwich, because it expands. And then I moved it around with my finger and it just disintegrated into like just nothing. And I said, look, this nut and this olive is still here. So you put that in your stomach, you can fast and not eat for 16 hours because that is still in your stomach.
Mm.
Not only that, but when it breaks down, it's made up of the same cells you are. Whereas that bread is just man-made factory bollocks, and the one,
and I think that's
energy
100%, man. I think that's the big difference. I think that one is natural, and what one is essentially man-made is the big difference there, man. Like, I now only put natural ingredients in my body because everything else is just full of rubbish and garbage and chemicals, and who knows how much damage we're actually doing to our insides, because we don't know the full effect of eating these sorts of foods are.
I could challenge any professor, anyone who is qualified at their game, that all disease, pretty much all disease, comes from vibration and diet. Because think about all the physical diseases, diabetes, Crohn's disease, eczema, thyroid issues. It all comes from immune. Mm-hmm. It all comes from autoimmune disease, which is created by our gut microbiome. Why is our gut microbiome being destroyed? Because of the stuff we're putting in. You know, we're supposed to have good bacteria like mushrooms and stuff and yogurt to keep the bacteria growing. But when we put lectins in, lectins destroy the wall of our gut, and our wall is only a skin cell thick. So we're eating constantly just lectins and everything, pretty much everything, right? And it's drilling a hole in our gut, which is going into our body. We're putting on weight. We have Crohn's. We've got diabetes. We've got, you know, eczema. I know, for example, when I eat bread, I get psoriasis on my elbow. And when I don't eat bread, I don't. When I eat milk, I get spots on my head. And when I don't, I don't. Everything is based on what we're eating. And everyone's fat. So like 0.5% of the world is fat. The only people that aren't fat are the people who live in, like, say, you know, Syria, Iran, Africa. Well, I call it not Western countries, the opposite, because they don't, they're in nature. They just eat spices and natural shit. Like, they're all skinny. Like, if you go to, like, say, I don't know, Pakistan, they're walking around carrying, like, hay on there. They're all skinny. What does that tell you? Like, there's something to do with why they're all skinny and why we're all fat. And what we're eating? Bollocks. What they're eating? Natural herbs that are passed down from generations of, you know, just simple stuff. And a lot of these people are religious, and they fast based on their religion. So again, fasting and eating nice foods, they don't have disease. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. All problems come from food, literally.
It is crazy, man. And I think you're spot on. Why do you think, I've got a question for you. Why do you think we consume these foods if they are basically slowly killing us and giving us all these problems? Why do you think people still eat them?
People in life are dependent or they're independent. You work for somebody or you work for yourself. You follow or you lead. There's no in between. You cannot be both. You will not want to depend on somebody if you are independent. And if you are not independent, then you have to depend. Otherwise, you don't know what to fucking do. People follow what everyone else follows. And if everyone's following the news, companies, advertisements, their friends, school, parents, cousins, aunties and nephews of just like the last 70 years, you're going to follow. That's just, if all the animals migrate there, you either migrate or you wait here and you die. If you don't migrate, you're not going to find any food, like you're going to die. So people just follow and they're not questioning why they're following. And so that's why everyone's following all this diet and stuff. Because
so we're all, everyone...
huh?
Yeah. So in Western culture, we're all basically following the leader to our death.
Yeah. Yes. We are following Colonel... what's it called, KFC guy? We're following Colonel fucking to our death.
Well, Ronald one McDonald. Person is and everyone else is following them.
We're following Colonel McDonald, Ronald McDonald to our death. And he's like, well, yeah. I never told you to follow me. You know, I created a burger for an enjoyment. If you choose to eat it every day, that's your fucking problem. You know what I mean? And all these, like, you know, Indian and Chinese people, they're following, like, thousands of years of traditions of just... ways of eating, like, you know, why do the Chinese eat white rice? Because they know that the whole has the most lectins. French, white bread. They don't eat brown bread because of the lectins. And pasta, Italians, they don't eat brown pasta because of the lectins. So why is it every fucking American and English person suddenly starts to eat whole meal? It's because it got lost in translation of why we took the whole out in the first place. You know what I mean? There's different types of fiber, okay? There's good fiber and bad fiber. And the whole has fiber, but it's the wrong type of fiber. Hence why everyone's eating grains and everyone's got these fucking problems. Because one person did a scientific analysis of why all these people in, say, Africa, they've got good diet or they've got fiber. But there was two types of fibers. So he comes back to, like, Western world and says, you need to eat fiber because this is why these people have good digestive systems. So we will start eating whole grain because it's fiber. Mm. Wrong fiber. Mm. It's the same as there's two types of milk. There's like keratin A, keratin B in cow milk.
Mm-hmm.
Certain cow milk is good for you or not bad for you. And the other one's really bad for you. And again, we're eating all this milk of the wrong kind of, I think it's called keratin or something. Don't keep me, you know. But so we're eating the wrong milk again. So again, it's just like you're supposed to have went north, but you went true north. You're close, but you're fucking way off. You know what I mean?
Mm.
That's why everyone's got these problems, because you're just following the pattern. It's as simple as that, really.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I think you're right. And I think obviously in Western culture, we have a lot more access to those foods, right? Those foods full of, what are they called, lectins? I've never heard of lectins before.
Lectins. It's a sticky sugar molecule which sticks to our blood. And then when your blood level increases, everything just becomes chaotic. And it's just continuously trying to balance it up. And if we're just constantly eating lectins, then your blood sugar's constantly raised. And then it's just fucking chaos. It literally is just, it's fucking chaos. And as you said, 95% of the foods we eat have lectins in, you're left with literally a few foods like olives, nuts. Like, for example, walnuts are good, but almonds are not good because almonds have lectins in. So it's like, wow.
The almonds have lectins in them.
Almonds have lectins in. The skin of an almond has lectins in. Tomato. That's why they deseed. That's why, you know, Italians, they take the seeds out of the tomato because it has the most lectins in. Dr. Gundry, YouTube this guy. I learned all this from him. Dr. Gundry.
Dr. Gundry.
Years ago, KFC chicken used to be fed fish, right? Because they used to
KFC what?
Years ago, KFC chicken used to be, first of all, chickens in like cages, they are fed kind of like poultry, like just, they're just fed like fish molecule, like just grounded fish. And of course, you know what you eat, you become. So that if the chickens gross. Just eat fish, then the chicken cells are going to become fish cells, right? So Dr. Gundry 20 years ago took his kids to KFC, and then the kids went, "Daddy, this is fish." And he went, "What are you on about? It's chicken." And then he looked at the fish, he looked at the chicken, and he realized that it was translucent. Why was that translucent? Because the chickens have always been fed like grounded up fish, because it's just cheaper to give them fish as opposed to, I don't know, whatever. And so the fish, the chicken was becoming the cells of a fish. So, you know, you are what you eat, basically. I am eating healthy olives and nuts. My body can reproduce because it's getting what it needs. But if I'm eating grains and kebab and chicken and fucking all bollocks, your body's going to become that. And that's not what that we can't produce with that. Like, you feed a plant fucking milk, it can't reproduce. It needs water. And the KFC chicken was translucent because they were feeding it fish, like grounded fish. And then he went on this massive journey of why countries have populations that live very long versus those that don't. Why are Western fat? Why are Italy and Greece and all these people healthy? And olive oil,
these countries, Japan.
You need to get into this. It is fucking incredible. And because of him, I started to fast and only eat certain foods because he was proof in the pudding. He looks so
well. I've read some similar studies, man. I'm on your page. Yeah.
Diet, it's the death. It's the death of humans, literally.
It is the death, man. What, have you done any other sort of fasting?
So the only fast I do is just stop eating at 8 and eat at 12.
Okay. And you've been doing that for a year?
It's coming on to about a year, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're a committed man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think that's apparent, isn't it?
yeah 10 podcasts every week since I met you.
It's amazing, man. That's a lot of work. That actually blows my mind. I saw your schedule when you sent a photo of it for me, and I was like, what, he's doing that much? That's incredible.
Like anything, if you're not consistent, then it doesn't materialize. Like, you have to keep watering your plant, keep taking the weeds out.
How else are you gonna grow?
Yeah, and you got to look at it and watch it for years and years and years, and people get impatient and then they think it's not growing, and then they plant another seed, and then that ends up dying, the one before, because you weren't watering it 100%. And nurturing it. And then same thing happens to that seed, and it's just the same cycle. You don't give it chance.
100%, man. People give up so early. Oh, you're back. The screen was paused for the longest time.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know why. Can you see me?
No, you paused again, but it's all right. I've been looking at a pause screen for a long time anyway. But yeah, man, your persistence with this has been amazing.
When I was growing up, I was the most inconsistent person. Like, my dad always said, you're great at anything. You're great at basketball, you're great at football, you're great at gardening, you're great at ballet, you're great at music. Anything I did, I was the best at, because I just had this ability to do the best at it. But I was never consistent. It was always start a football team, bored, basketball team, bored, tennis team, bored. I was never consistent. And then I realized, my dad's right, I'm not consistent. And if I was just consistent for more than fucking 5 minutes, because of my ADHD brain, I would be able to master anything. I'll be the greatest piano player, greatest singer. And I never did that. And so 27 years later, I am sticking to one thing and one thing only. which is podcasting. I do jump ahead of myself. Like, I want to start selling at arenas and doing speaking events now.
But we all do. But you've got to have that big mindset at the same time, you know. So I think that's important too.
Yeah. So you need to have like you need to know whether you're going north, south, east, or west. But I wanted to like sort of like get in a car and drive quicker. And I'm like, well, even if you get there, the energy of you walking still has to take, say, 7 years. So I have to just keep doing this podcast. And like anything, if you look at Ed Sheeran, he was doing pubs and clubs for 7 years. Every single person who's made it, actors, they were doing small gigs for 7 years. Even though I know
almost
I've
always
made it in my mind. Huh?
Almost always, yeah.
Yeah, even though I've made it in my mind and I could pretty much go on stage and sell out arenas right now speaking, I still have to do the physical work. And I've really accepted that. I have no choice. I have to do the steps. Otherwise,
everybody
I'm
going to
be in the same position in 50 years' time.
Yeah, everybody does, man. And it's the same thing with the fasting. You know, people just don't stick to it. Everyone thinks that when they see famous people, that those people are an overnight success. Because one minute you don't know them, and then the next minute they're super famous. But those people, as you said, have been grinding for years. Lots of them start acting when they're little kids. You know, and they've been acting their whole lives and going to acting school, and that they've committed their whole lives to that, and they become famous at 27. You know what I mean? But you don't see all those years and all that time. And so people get discouraged very quickly because they start something, they don't get immediate feedback, immediate response from their audience, and they're discouraged and they leave those things. That, like you said, man, you plant a seed in all different places and you don't let any of them grow because you're just moving around all the time. And I think that is where most people fall when they're trying to achieve their dreams. It's that they just bail out too early. You've just got to stick to it. You've got to keep grinding and it will eventually come into fruition, but it could take a year. It could take 10 years. It could take 20 years, but it will. I think that just scares people. And so people obviously base their decisions on emotion and that's fear. And so they start running.
Exactly. They just see the person when they've made it. They don't realize that that person has been grafting fears. Like Steve Jobs and the iPhone. Do you think he just went into the office one day and said, right, we're going to create the iPhone? No, he was creating this fucking thing in his room for like years and years and years. He created the iPad before the iPhone and he launched the iPhone before the iPad. Like it takes time, like Microsoft and all the hard work of getting selling computers. You never see the journey before, you always see the end result. And so people think, right, well, if that person's got that, then I can get that too. And then they start to do it. And then it's like, well, I don't know what to do because you don't realize what had to be done. And that's what I'm trying to say. You're either independent or you're dependent. You either know how to get it there yourself or you will follow. And, you know, everything online is teaching people how to get there, like, you know, click funnel schemes and Shopify, YouTuber.
Click funnel. What's click funnel?
Yeah, click funnel. It's like a simple step-by-step process of how to do something. So I had to become a YouTuber in 28 days and there's like different video every single day. And then you pay like, say, £600. But
really?
Yeah. So people tell you how they got there, but you don't see like the
same. You need the drive as well. Sorry to interject, but you need the drive as well, obviously, you know. Like you can easily be told how to get somewhere, but if you don't have the drive to implement whatever you're told, then you're not going to get there.
Yeah, that's why so many people, like, you can tell people what to do, but as soon as you're not there telling them, they don't know what to do. They even need constant mentorship, or they have the ability to instinctively know where to go. Like if you let a cat loose out the house and you don't let him in, it will just go off and find food. It has the ability to survive and go where it needs to go. Whereas these days, everyone is like the cat. We need to be fed all the time. And I truly believe that, you know, people say, is an entrepreneur, are you born with it? Is it like in the genes? Is it from birth? And the answer is, if you've not got a seed in you, and that could be a grandparent, a cousin, a nephew, a neighbor who tells you this alternative life at an early stage, you're not going to be exposed to it enough where that seed has enough potential to grow. You can't just like teach somebody something. They have to have already want that inquisitive mindset. You know, your teacher will always tell a student who's got a question the answer, but if you say tell me everything, he's not going to know where to start. And you're not going to do anything with it because you're not on that journey to that next stage. It's like the pyramid. You have to go up block by block. And you either got it or you don't. And I always thought, well, is that true? Like, are you born with it? And I look back to
I don't think we're necessarily born with it. I do believe some people are born special in a certain way. Like, you think about like Bob Dylan or something, he was like a musical genius and virtuoso in his teens, you know, and it's like, okay, people can practice their whole life and don't do what he did by the age of 19 or whatever. So I don't know. Some people are kind of like special, but I think anyone can turn themselves into whatever they want to be and do whatever they want to do. But yeah, they've got to access that information to do it and then be willing to put in the work.
Like, can you see me, by the way?
No. I haven't been able to see you the whole time, but it's all good.
But yeah, like,
that's why I'm looking all over the place.
People have always said I'm special, right? And it's like, well, why is that? Because you have a gift or whatever. So it's like, well, why have I got a gift? Why have not you got a gift? And you look back to
we're all special.
You look back to like my childhood and you compare to other people's childhood, and it always comes down to parenting or nurturing. It's not just nature, it's nurture. So if you've got a parent that's sort of pushing you to do good and you can do anything, son, then you're always going to be exposed to that belief of I can do anything. And then as you get older and people say, no, you can't do that, it's a fuel, because then you hear your dad say you can and your kids at school say you can't, and it becomes a drive. And then you look back to people who haven't got the knowledge through, you know, books or parents or YouTube videos, or whatever, and they're not exposed to this. So if somebody says you can't do it, then they haven't been told you can. So it's like, you're right, I can't. And so they just stay there. So I do believe that you need to be exposed in some form to a seed of an alternative life. Otherwise, you won't know it exists. And then, you know, the drive to why you would do that is based on your circumstances. So if you've got a rich, let's just say you're an Arab, right? You've got loads of money, but they're not smart. It's just come down. You'd have the money, but you wouldn't have the drive. Whereas if you have poverty and you've just lived with no money and nothing, but a grandma said you can do anything you want, then that is enough to drive you out. So the drive comes from circumstances of what you think is normal or not. So if you live in Syria in a shack and that's all you've known, then that's not poverty. But to an American with a big mansion, that's poverty. So
yeah, it's all relative.
Yeah, that would be the drive if I was an American living in a shack. But had a big house, then there wouldn't be a drive because they don't need this big house because it's just nothing to them. So it's a mixture of both, like drive and seed.
Yeah, it's very much a case of nature and nurture. And which one, you know. Sorry?
It comes in both. It's not one without the other, I don't think.
For sure, man, for sure. And I think some people, like you said, some people are born in some unfortunate circumstances, and that can either be used as a deterrent, you know, to achieve greatness or something, you know, of a roadblock that you want to smash down and break through. You know, so it could make you more successful. So like some people go left or right with that as well, you know. If you've got a rough upbringing, that can either keep you down for the rest of your life or make you want to work harder and push you in the other direction. It's more extreme.
Yeah. You look at so many people who said they had nothing growing up. And then you've got the alternative. Rich parents who've had a mansion and a car and their kids always had money, they often don't have the same drive. They never ever, often statistically, become as successful because they never had that need for success because it was just given on a plate.
Everything was given to them.
Yeah, you think about it like that. You think, well, the drive comes from the lack or the need for more, whereas if you have it, there's no drive. It's like you only start creating your own vegetable patch when the supermarket can't supply for a week during a crisis. It's like, fuck, like it's here, but it's not here. Like, what the fuck do I do? My drive was always, I suppose my mum telling me no and my dad telling me yes. So it's this battle of I can, I can't. And then it mixes with people at school saying, you can't do that. That's crazy. Like, and that's more fuel. And then it's like, you know, it was a fuel of being told no, which did it for me. Like, I haven't got loads of money.
Interesting.
I had everything I wanted. Like, my parents got me the stuff for Christmas that I wanted, but I didn't have money compared to my friends, for example, who had big houses and big cars. So I'm pretty much in the middle.
So you hearing no gave you more drive.
Yeah, like every time I was told no, it was why, and it was trying to prove my mum wrong. So yeah. Oliver, no, told you, Oliver, you can't do that. Watch me. It always became, rather than what I'm doing, it became to prove them wrong. Like, my father's approval was more important to me than actually going out and making money, for example. I was always trying to get him to say that's a great idea, rather than just doing it. So when I started to put my thoughts into action, that's when I started to see results. I stopped going to him for approval and I just did it. And that's when things started to change. And I think that approval comes down to trying to prove people wrong at school. Like, when they say, you're not going to be successful. Yeah, I will. Watch me. But it's also important to forgive these people and not be doing it to say, you know, go past a house in your Ferrari saying, oi, John, fuck you. That's toxic for the soul. Use them as fuel. Forgive them. Because if you hold on to that reason of why you're doing it, you have no drive anymore, because my drive was my parents telling me no. They're not telling me no anymore. So there's no drive. I'll be 27, 30 years old living at home, 50 years old living at home. So now it's a choice, you know?
You got to love the dream you're chasing, you know? There's got to be a drive. You know, there's got to be inspiration there. I think that's also one thing where a lot of people fall short is they chase a dream and then it starts to turn out not like how they thought in terms of actually enjoying the task that they're doing. And if you don't truly love something, like really love something, then you're not going to work hard enough at it to become great at it.
Yeah, true. I've realized patterns. If you look at all the people who are very rich, who don't really give a shit about money, they've got so much money. But the difference is that they're doing what they love, that it wasn't about the money. It was about just doing what they love. And if you do
money
something
was just
good,
was just a consequence of their hard work of something they
do
love
something
doing.
Something that you like and it makes you feel good, people are going to buy into it and they're going to trade in money. So you look at like Ed Sheeran. He's just the pub boy who's rich because he's doing what he loves. You know, Steve Jobs and Elon Musk, they're just creating. It's not about the money. You look at Trump.
Exactly right.
He's got loads of money, but he's just doing what he's doing. And that's it. So, and if you look at the alternative of people who chase the dream, they want Lamborghinis and big houses. They are either unhappy when they get there or they never make it. And I realize now that I've tried every possible path to make it apart from the one path, which is just doing what makes me happy, which is talking, getting a reaction from people in terms of, well, you've changed my life. You've really helped me. That's like me going back to my mum and my childhood of getting a reaction from my mum. So helping somebody heal is the same as helping my mum and getting a reaction. That's all I've always been about, parent reaction. So if I can help people and get a reaction and do what I love, which is speaking, then the money will come from when you pay to see me speak. But it's not about the money, because once you've got your house, what am I going to be doing? Sitting there all year? No, I'm going to be out traveling the world teaching people and healing people. So that house is just there. Like when I come back at Christmas, like, so it doesn't mean jack shit. It's the doing what I love. And then the money's just there. Like, how many massages can you get? How many cars can you get? How many steaks for £50 can you get? It all just becomes the same after a while. And all you have is feeling left over, you know?
You're exactly right, man. Material possessions don't actually bring any happiness. And yeah, money is just a consequence of doing what you love. It really is, you know. Follow your dreams and the money will come. That is for sure, man. You really need to do something truly great. You need to put a truly great amount of work into it. And you're not going to put that great amount of work into it if you don't love it enough. And it's as simple as that. If you don't love what you do, truly, truly love it, you will not put a great enough amount of work into it to become great at it and to be somebody. It's just a fact. So if you're kind of half into something and you think it's your dream and you're kind of on a knife's edge, put it aside and move on. You know, listen to your heart, listen to your gut, find what you really love doing and just do it, no matter how crazy it seems, because you will become great at it.
if you take away like money and realize that money's just how we trade, money's no different to trading a carrot for a sweet corn. Okay, so you've got a farm that's got carrots, he's got sweet corn, you want to trade. Once you've traded, how do you feel? That's all we have is feeling. So if you think about feelings all we have, then you have to imagine that if there was no reason to trade in money and you have to live happy or unhappy, you want to live happy. So if you live happy, money will come because people want to trade with happiness, you know, trade with service.
Absolutely.
And the more happy you are, the more you attract other humans and the more they want to trade. And it's just the way it is. So if you follow the passion, money will come. And if you do it for the money, it's not about the passion. It's not feeling good. It's like people who go to, they say, well, I'm going to be a doctor because it pays well. What? So for 60 years, you're going to sit in that fucking office because it pays well and happy. You have to be having a laugh. When I was younger, I went on a mountain trip and I was walking up the mountain and my friend was recording with my teacher, my sports tutor. He was filming me going up the mountain and he said to my friend next to me, Ollie, he's a weird one, he is. He says, oh, my legs hurt, I'm tired. And he sits on the rock and then we have to pull him up. But as soon as somebody up there is like doing something, there's something interesting up there, or they found something like an ancient fossil, he runs up the mountain. So in just a second, he goes, oh, my legs hurt, I can't walk anymore. And he's running up the mountain. So what does that say? It says that when the mind wants something, it will do it. And if it doesn't, it won't. And that goes down to passion versus money. Passion always wins
100% of the time, and it all starts with listening to your gut and your heart, you know, using your heart intelligence.
Damn right. Yeah, you know, brain or heart, people always say go with your heart, and yet everyone goes to the brain, and yet it always goes back to the heart. It's like you love somebody, you want this person, but then you always go back to the heart, and it's just, we have
the best decisions of your life to come from.
Yeah. Damn right, because, yeah, it's feeling in terms of the universal energy rather than thoughts and what you see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. And, you know, that's the brain.
Exactly right. And the brain's always playing tricks on us, man. Like,
yeah,
you know, we're always having conflicting thoughts and they always bounce back and forth and it's hard to know what's good or bad because we have a constant internal dialogue. But as soon as you feel something from here or here in your gut, it's like you know it because it's a feeling. It's not just a thought.
Yeah, and we don't know what thoughts yours, like your thoughts are made up of your five senses, but also other people.
Exactly right.
Your thoughts are made up of other people's thoughts. Like,
I'm the sum total of all the things I've ever heard and researched.
Yeah,
those are what my thoughts are based on. And that could be very skewed. That could be a very skewed view. Well, it is, relative to everyone else's in the world.
Yeah, like you are in London, for example, like you were, and I go back home. If I'm thinking of you, thinking of a certain playground, that's going to become your thought and you're going to somehow, for whatever reason, go towards that playground on your walk. Now, you might not have a reason to go to the playground, but you'll be guided there because my thoughts and your thoughts are connected middle in the playground. So that was my thought. So if that's my thought and I've met you once, every person you've ever met is connected to you. Their thoughts are made up of your thoughts. Hence why when you go down a path, you go left rather than right, because they're there. So our thoughts aren't even our own. So what does that even say? Our thoughts aren't even our own. Like, I look
what
at it like
does
this.
That say, my friend? That is a good question.
If you put a blindfold on you.
Trying to wrap my head around that myself.
Yeah. If somebody locks you in a garage, right? And put earmuffs on your head and put a blindfold on you. You'd have thoughts coming into your head, which aren't made up of your five senses, which means they're made up of other people. So all your thoughts at that point are made up of other people's thoughts. Oh, I need to call Alex. Oh, I need to do this. I wonder if Alex did this. Or grandma says, I want, you know, come over for Christmas. All these thoughts coming into your head, but they're not your thoughts. So what does that say? That majority of our thoughts are just, you know, 50,000 thoughts unconsciously. Consciously, you might only be able to remember about, say, I don't know, whatever. But unconsciously, 50,000 apparently, and then we're being guided towards doing stuff without even realizing. So all our subconscious thoughts are made up of other people, and our conscious thoughts, if you're meditating, are just, I need to eat now, I need to take a piss, I need to pick that up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, man. And we all need to, I mean, like you said, in meditating, we all need to start just being more conscious all the time, you know, being more present, trying to be in a sort of meditative state as often as we can, rather than having all these conflicting thoughts bouncing around made up of other people's thoughts, you know?
Yeah, it's like, should I get a McDonald's tonight or should I have a nice homemade meal? Well, if McDonald's didn't put an advert out, you wouldn't have thought of McDonald's. You'd have your homemade meal. So if you think about every time you get a pair of shoes, every time you go to the pub, every time you do this, you do that, that's somebody else's thought. It's a company's thought. It's not yours. Take away all of that. What are you left with? How I feel. And are you hungry? Do you need more sleep? Are you horny? It's just nothing. There's nothing left after that. It's like, what do I do? Just go for a walk. I can't walk every day. It's boring. Like, now what do I do? So we're made up of everyone else's thoughts, you know? Go ice skating, go to the park, go on Tinder. Yeah.
Man, you're exactly right. It's a, I don't know, man. It's a crazy life we live. How do you think it all began?
It all began, we were a tiny, like, mosquito, which evolved from water being heated.
And literally a mosquito?
Tiny bit of bacteria, right? You know, sun heats water. So volcanoes in the ground were still boiling. The top of the earth cooled. And so now there's steam coming up. And that steam creates moisture. It becomes rain. And then the sun goes on the water. Bit of bacteria creates a life. And then that life, millions of years, becomes like a chicken to a duck to a goat to a cow to a donkey to an ape to a chimp, eventually to a human, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to eat, so we eat, and if there's food, we keep living, and if there isn't food, we die. And the more you eat, the more you live, the more you find food, the more your brain is active to find food. So now your brain is getting bigger, so now you've got more thoughts to think, to do, and then you learn from the last thing, and then you keep doing that. The brain gets bigger, so your body lasts longer. But if you notice, the body always starts to die at, say, 50. Your guts go, your eyesight goes, your hearing goes. It starts to go at 50.
Mate, I just turned 30 last week, and I feel like I'm going. Like, my joints are all sore. Like, I'm not early 20s anymore, man. Even 30, I'm starting to, like, feel just a little bit more sore just every day.
Like, you know, mentally we can live for, you know, like 80, 90 years old, but we're all old and we're creaky and we're cracky, right? So the reason why we live long is because our brain is stimulated all the time. It's so, like, for example, if you...
And advances in medicine.
Yeah. Whereas our body is saying, well, evolution says that we're only supposed to live for about, you know, say 30, 40 years or whatever. And it's only because our brain got too big that we're not dying. Hence why we all have these problems at, you know, 30, 40, 50. So when you look at it like that, we're living because our brains are active based on lots of thoughts.
Definitely. Definitely. Do you think we should be living as long as we are? Because sometimes I see a really old person, I'm just like, they're not there mentally, physically, just anything. And they live for years like that. And it's just, doesn't make much sense to me.
So yeah,
isn't it just time to move on?
I've seen, like, you know, on YouTube, there's this Himalayan monk that was 400 years old or 250 years old. So, and he just pretty much meditates his whole life and fasts, right? So, yeah, we can live for a long time. If you have a tree and it was sunny all year round, that tree would live for thousands of years. But if it was winter, for example, that tree would die. So under the right circumstances, life will keep creating life. If we keep giving our bodies the right foods and stuff, we will keep living. If we give it KFC, we're going to get diabetes and die. So
you think we can live permanently?
I believe that looking at all life and trees and fish and, you know, dinosaurs and stuff, everything does have an expiry date. Some things have longer and some things don't. And that's based on, I don't know, the evolution of that species. So if lots of sharks have been around for billions of years and humans have only been around for millions of years, then sharks are going to live longer. And if they keep eating and drinking, then until the food supply runs out, then they'll die. You know, the heart can reproduce when it gets weak. The lungs can, you could smoke and it starts to grow fresh ones, and the brain can remove toxins and produce. So everything keeps producing, plants keep growing. So what was your initial question?
What was my question? So do you believe that we could
are we supposed to live this long?
Do you think we could live forever? Because if there's a monk, right, who's just living off the energy of the earth, the rays and the soil around him for 250 years, do you think that if we practice the right things in life, we can live that long?
I believe that if you use a car engine for a certain amount of time, the components are going to break down and you're going to have to replace them. I believe that.
Right. So there's a limited amount of years.
If you use your heart or your brain a certain amount of time, it's like everything is elasticity, right? If you think your brain, skin, for example, it's tight, but then the more you use it, the more it stretches. And like a balloon, if you keep blowing up that balloon, it's not going to go back to its normal state. So the more you use your brain, the more you create energy like a balloon. But eventually that balloon, unless you keep blowing in that balloon, it's going to go back to normal state. And that's when you got the peak and you drop. So under circumstances, you can live pretty much for as long as you want to live. So if you want to live, then you'll live. If you want to die, you'll die. All these old people, 90 years old, he's just living his life like there isn't an age. Whereas if you're like 60 and your wife's died and you've got nothing to live for, then you'll just give up. But in terms of the biological kind of expiry date, that 400-year-old monk, eventually his heart will just get slower and slower and slower until it just doesn't stop beating anymore. And that's like the star becoming it's the star, and it fizzes out and it burns out gradually. So it takes time, but it will burn out, and that star will just burn out. And that's the same as a human. Like, we're different. If we're made up of energy from the solar system and solar energy fizzes out over time, then we are no different.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I was watching something on monks, how they like to, there's a certain sect of monks that literally meditate to their death, like as you were just saying. So they sit in the lotus position, and then they're in that for so long that they eventually die, and then they get like rigor mortis, and they're like set in that position. And that's a way that all of these monks choose to die.
Yeah, so it's a boring life doing that. If it doesn't feel good, you're not getting on that plane to go to London to do work, then all you've got is feeling. Now, you could think to yourself, why did I have these thoughts, and then go back and then meditate and then remove those thoughts and just be a fucking farmer. But if you have no reason to not do those thoughts, then you're not in harmony, so you just take action and do it. If I know that there's more to life than just being a monk, which is what we've initially come from, then I would rather live...
But is there?
Live a life of enjoying food and stuff, but being smart and not eating KFC every day, but enjoying a wing. Otherwise, you can live for 400 years as a monk, but what a fucking boring life,
It might not be. You might be surprised.
That is true. We don't know what it feels like. But
you don't know what it feels like. Ram Dass was talking about is it Ram Dass? Yeah, I was listening to one of his. Have you heard any of his lectures from his podcast?
What's his name?
They've released. He's Ram Dass. He's a philosopher, and he was giving this talk in like the 70s, and he said like he was doing long. He was practicing sadism, or it was those sadhus on the side of the road in India. Anyway, and he was saying that when he got into particular meditative states, that he had to, because he had to get up at a certain time in the morning and meditate for, 10, 12, 13, up to 20 hours a day, every day. And he said at first he was really bored when he first started meditating. And but he said after a while, like he wanted that boredom because he became so in touch with his feelings, with the slight breeze that comes in the room, with the slightest sound, that a rich world emerges from the complete silence and boredom. So actually the deeper he went into boredom, the more beautiful and enriched his surroundings got. And I thought that was really cool. And I thought maybe that is the life of a monk, It seems like they're just eyes closed meditating, but when your eyes are closed and you're in that space where you're so highly acute and aware of even the slightest touches and feelings around you and the slightest sounds, that it's actually a rich world to live in.
That is a very good point. Very good point. Because I remember when I first started to meditate, when I came off medication, right? I had no brain activity for days. I was just meditating for like hours. I thought I was speaking to my grandma's ghost. So I used to come down at nighttime.
Whoa.
Really, I was speaking to the voice in my head, right? But I believe I was speaking to a ghost. So I come down at nighttime and I would look for signs that she was here. So I'd wait for things to click, you know, lights to flicker and stuff like that. And looking back, if I was in a meditative mindset, aka I needed to be silent and still in order to hear things click and see things, I look back now, I was meditating for 3-4 hours in the morning. I was just waiting for that
powerful
that sign. But when I look back, I was in meditation for like 4-5 hours, and I was doing that every night for like a year or two. And
wow.
I remember I had the ability to like turn my Mac on and make lights flicker and predict roulettes when they were going to come in. And I could predict what number, for example, I remember taxis used to come past and I used to be like, taxi number 3, and it would be number 3. And I could see things before they'd even happened. And I could predict the number plate on that car. And my dad's going to ring me now and I'm going to see this person. And everything I was thinking was happening. So, but the peace I was in, I remember lying on my floor, right, for 3 hours and then going clubbing. And I used to think to myself, if people could see what I was doing before I went clubbing, how I was just lying on my floor, they're thinking, what a fucking weirdo. And I didn't know that was meditation at that time. I thought that was just me.
Actually practicing meditation. This was just something you were doing because it felt right to you.
Yeah, like I wanted my grandma to make a sign, you know, to say she was here. And I had to be silent in order to hear the knock or the click, or for example.
Wow.
But looking back, I was in meditation. And when things are knocking and clicking, it wasn't grandma, it wasn't a ghost, it was my own energy interfering with the lights and the TV and things of static charge. So when you are in a meditative mindset, you raise your energy. We are energy, TV, fridge, lights, it's all energy. The lights used to flicker and the TV used to make noises and crack. And I realize now that there was never grandma, it was my own energy charging things of also a static charge and interfering with it. Wi-Fi used to go down. That, you know, the surge of energy, interference, intermittence, these are all energy terms. I had a surge of energy. I was interfering with my parents' life. So interference meaning energy getting involved, intermittent. It wasn't pure. And all these energy terms. But I was in meditation for fucking hours and hours and hours. And I remember how peaceful it was and how the life didn't exist. My parents didn't exist. School, work didn't exist. My friends didn't exist. I remember the clock was just ticking. It was... And it was like 2 and then half 2 and then 3 and then half 3. It was so amazing and so peaceful that looking back, maybe those monks feel like that, but even more profound. Imagine feeling what I felt, even higher. Every sense, I could hear things clicking. I could smell. I could see things moving. I could see everything as it was. I could see my friend's pain, my parents' pain. I saw through everything. And maybe you're right. Maybe these monks have such a heightened sense that everything becomes 100 times more amazing than it did for me. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Yeah.
I think so, man. I think so. And I always thought the same as you, like monks' life is crazy up until I listened to this this lecture, this talk. A couple of days ago, and I was like, right, okay, this makes sense. Because, yeah, no, I've never gotten to that point. I do practice meditation, which I think is really important and something that's helped me massively in my life. I think everyone needs that. I think everyone needs a bit of meditation, and some people might not realize that they're getting it even, you know. Like I feel like if I go on a long run, for example, you know, that'll put me in a meditative state. You know, I get to a point where I'm so exhausted. I'm not thinking about anything. My mind's completely free. So people might be getting into meditative states without even thinking about it, but everyone, I guess, views it as sitting down and going, but so I think like, everyone needs a bit more of it. You know, I wish it had broken through to society more than it has. I think more people need to be doing it.
Like medication is the problem and it makes people rich. Meditation is a solution and no one is rich. So when my mum's on a walk, right, I know when she's thinking because she's looking down and she's twitching and she's in her head. And I know when she's in a meditative state because she's looking around. She's looking around. She's looking at the trees, the squirrels, the earth, right? And so
feeling connected.
I go on walks, I'm not thinking like I used to, unnecessary thoughts. So technically that is a meditative mindset where you're not thinking. But what I've realized when I compare me on a walk to not thinking compared to me laying in my kitchen on the ground, on the kitchen floor, looking up at the light, waiting for dust to fly past when she was there, and not doing anything, there's something different about being still versus moving. Because just imagine, right, if you just imagine you are sat down and you're farting, okay?
Yeah.
That fart is just going to... It's going to build up around you and it's going to get more and more and more. If you stay there, it's going to be strong. If you take a walk to the kitchen, it disperses. If you put water into squash, it dilutes. So what I'm saying is that there's something different about meditating whilst you're walking and moving and meditating when you're lying down. The concentration of squash is stronger without the water. And when you're moving, you're essentially diluting the squash with the water. So the reason why these monks just stay still is because the energy, like the chakras, it goes within and it goes up and it goes within and it goes up. Whereas if you move, the energy vibration, it moves around. It's almost like if you're trying to get a signal on your phone in the desert, stay still, because it needs a certain amount of time to get that frequency and connect. If you keep moving, it starts over again.
Is that true?
Well, think about it.
That's good.
If you've got no signal, right? For example, right.
Never thought about it before, but I'm glad I know that now.
Go towards your Wi-Fi router. It should say full bars. Okay. Mm. If you walk slowly outdoors, it will go to say 3 to 2 to 1, 0. But if you suddenly go from 3 bars to your router, leg it outdoors, it will suddenly go from 3 bars to 3G, for example. Okay. Mm. What that says is that it takes time for your phone to connect to your Wi-Fi. If you turn off the data and turn it on, it's not automatic. It takes time. Mm. It takes time to build up. If you imagine how it works, you turn on your Wi-Fi, a vibration is emitted. You turn on your 3G, a vibration is emitted. It takes time to develop that connection. So when you're meditating still, it takes time for your energy to build up and build up. Whereas if you're moving, it's like trying to connect to your Wi-Fi when you're moving. It's like it's not still enough to connect. It's almost like grabbing something and then you miss it. Like grabbing it, you're missing, you know? Does that make sense?
I feel you, man. It makes complete sense.
And when you translate that meditation, it does make sense.
No, it does. Do you know anything about these 5G towers that everyone's talking about?
In terms of conspiracies, you can look at everything for and against. So
I don't know anything about them, so I'm just curious.
I don't believe that China's doing this to whatever. It's bollocks. But what I will say is that if nature is, say, vibrating at 5 to 8 hertz, right?
Yeah.
Plants, life, the earth's crust, we are supposed to as well. If you look at microwaves and phones and electricity and lights and towers, it has a vibration and it's not the same vibration as nature, so it's going to be disharmony to us. It's almost like eating KFC rather than olives. It's not going to be the same over time. It's going to have an effect. So the stronger the vibration, the worse it's going to be for our bodies. But I look at it like this. You shouldn't be worrying about 5G if you're eating shit, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're not
exactly.
If you're not drinking water. Why the fuck are you worried about that when you're going to die anyway from how you live your life? Like stress and
it's so
anger.
Funny how people do that. They get really wound up about these trivial things that are going on in the world, but don't actually look at their own health, you know? Like think about the rate of heart disease in places like the States, but everyone's complaining about 5G towers, but they're slowly eating themselves to death.
it's
so weird, man.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like you said to me, you know, why are we not choosing to do things different? And I'm like, well, we don't know any different.
Mm.
But if you are hearing that the 5G is bad, then you're going to be like, well, we've got 5G. But if you're not being told that eating brown bread is bad, but it's better than white bread, then you're just going to eat brown bread. It all comes down to the difference of knowledge. Like as I said, my pattern of seven example versus this doesn't make sense was why I questioned it. Einstein, and then Newton says, you're talking shit, Einstein. You always need that balance. You always need that. You always need the balance in order to see difference. Otherwise, it's just what it is, you know? Is that...
Do you think you'll have another evolution of knowledge? Do you think you'll look back on what you think you're thinking about now and be like, that's outdated. That's not what I think it is anymore.
Put it this way. All the stuff I've ever believed, reincarnation, ghosts, pattern of seven, I have done a full circle and realized it's a load of bollocks. And the mere, it's almost like if you put a banana in front of you, you have a choice to eat that banana or not. But if there's no banana, it doesn't exist. If something exists, it's because somebody made it exist. It's like a monk. If he just was born in the mountain and he just stays there, that's all he's ever known, right? Einstein, why did you think about, you know, relativity? Because somebody in his profession suggested something or otherwise. So you have something to counteract. It's like how you play tennis, you've not got a partner. You know what I mean? And if you play tennis with a partner, he's going to keep hitting it back. So things are... Do I think there's... Again, it's like if you take away everything man's created, you're left with nothing. So if man creates something, a man's always...
But what about like trees and nature and, you know, things that man didn't create?
For example, like, you know, you could say the human evolution is dying because we're not getting what we need to live. Trees are getting what they need to live, so they're evolving, right? It creates more acorns and it creates more trees. Whereas humans are living and we're producing, but we're also dying as well. But if we went back to the basics of why are we dying and what we should be eating, then we'd keep living as opposed to dying, because we'd be creating more children and less people would be dying. So rather than say, you know, a billion die, a billion live, there'll just be 9 billion, 10 billion, 8 billion, whatever. But you said, do I think we're going to do an evolution of awareness where we change?
And yeah. Do you think you'll have another evolution? Personally?
Well, imagine all my thoughts were just unanswered thoughts, right? That's what Tourette's was. It was just a build-up of thoughts of chicken or the egg. Is there a God? Whatever. When I worked everything out and I found an answer, I had no thoughts. So unless there's something new to think about, there's going to be no thoughts. All the stuff I spent 15 years thinking about, is there ghosts, reincarnation, are psychics real?
What got you into that stuff in the first place?
Just me questioning. Basically, if I didn't have an answer to something, I'd keep asking questions. And that's basically what it was. And because there isn't an answer, because essentially it's all man-made about, is there a God? Is there incarnation? Is there a ghost? It's man-made, which means that you ask questions until you have the answers. But you've got to ask yourself, what man created the concept of reincarnation?
Who has the answers?
Yeah. So eventually, if you go back to the source of why did you first think there was such thing as reincarnation, he'd be like, well, my ancestor told me. And then you go back to his ancestor, and eventually you get back down to somebody who just thought that something might exist, or there was a cow in a field and he moved and he thought he said Dave. It's like, John, was that you? No, he just moved. And so from that point onwards, he believed that that was his reincarnated friend. And it just goes on. But do I believe that my thoughts? Well, I pretty much answered all things that most humans question. That makes sense. There's always something to learn. But the basics of things that we always question, is there a God? What happens when you die? I found the answers where I can't. Essentially, I got to the end of, okay, well, I must be a reincarnation of whatever. But then if you stop questioning, then you just accept the fact that you're reincarnation. But if you keep questioning, you find flaws. So which means I'm not the reincarnation of, for example, Jesus. And if I wasn't reincarnation of Jesus, am I the reincarnation of anybody or anything? Well, technically, no, which means it doesn't exist. And then you go back to, we're just here. So so I don't think that... I told my dad the other day, if I found answers to all the stuff based on questions from another human being with also answers... it's just brain activity and neurons. And then we're just left with just sun, earth, water, nature. Like, every other animal, it just wakes up and it eats, and then it sleeps, and then it fucks, and then it dies. Well, that's basically all we're left with. So anything that we think about as humans was created by a human, and really it doesn't have a source, because how can it be a source? It's just like, if it all comes from the brain in the first place, well, nothing exists. God, fucking nothing exists. Like money, God, reincarnation, computers, you know, is a monk, is he happy? It's like, well, everything is nonsense, you know? I told my dad it's bollocks, and he says, well, I could have told you that. I was like, you should. Yeah, you could have told me that. Jesus Christ. And he was like, well, you were searching. You've got to work it out yourself, mate. I'm like, for fuck's sake.
I love that. Telling me you knew Grandma wasn't here. That's a great moment. And that's an amazing thing for him to say. He said, you have to work it out yourself. And that's the sign of an intelligent man.
Damn right. I was like,
right? Yeah. You can't tell someone. You can't tell anyone anything. You need to, as Osho would say, like, surround someone like a fragrance of a flower. Like, if you want someone to change or to show them how to change, don't tell them how to change. Just show them the change, be the change, and they'll see that, and then they'll want to replicate that. If you tell someone to do something directly, their first reaction is to get their back up and fight. And they don't want their ego's been challenged, you know, their world's been challenged. But if you just show someone the way, then they will follow in turn.
Yeah, it's a fine example of an entrepreneur and a businessman. A businessman goes to university, gets a business degree, and learns like the main basics of a business. Whereas an entrepreneur has jumped in the water and learned to swim, right? And there's certain things you can't prepare when you run a business compared to if you create one. For example, what do you do if you own a restaurant and a terrorist attack happens? What do you do? Where do you put the people? Like, you don't know what to do. You work it out as you go along. Whereas a businessman, he opens up a business. He only knows what he's learned, but he doesn't know what happens when the tills go down and there's a big queue at the door. How do you manage all those people? Like, what the fuck do you do? Whereas an entrepreneur, for example, has had to learn through every mistake and work it out along the way. And he has like a million steps of experience, even though he may only use like, say, 10 steps of experience. With a businessman, he's taught, say, 100,000 steps based on a professor who probably learned from a professor. He learned from a professor, let's be honest. Mm. And he doesn't know the reality of life and the reality of what happens if a terrorist attack happens in a restaurant. So now that businessman is running a business, but he doesn't have a fucking clue what happens when, for example, the coronavirus takes over. And how do you pay your employees? Like, it's something you don't know until it happens. And this is the fine example of companies like not knowing what to do with all this, everyone not working. It hasn't happened before. So you really only learn through experience. You can't be told
100%
how to make millions of quid. You can't be told. You have to be on that journey yourself. Mm.
That's why I'm so happy for you, man, that you've been working so hard at this since I last saw you. I was really excited by the fact that you had that schedule built up and it was so full, and you've been doing so many shows and keeping so active because of that exact reason. You know, you learn by doing, you learn through experience, and so your growth will be exponential at the moment. You must be moving forward at quite a rate, because the amount you learn from each and every episode, each and every person you talk to, is gold. You know, you could do a university course on how to do this sort of thing, or a diploma on how to do this sort of thing, but you don't actually have any sort of a clue until you actually get there in and experience it. And once you start experiencing it, it'll show you your strengths and your weaknesses, and then you go from there. And that's how you become successful.
Yeah, so I learned from every single person something I didn't know, for example. But you learn yourself by speaking. Like, you learn things about yourself by speaking, I've realized. Like, when you speak, you realize things don't add up, or that doesn't make sense, or that's not completely true. So you are constantly kind of holding yourself accountable by speaking out into the universe, because you don't want to be seen as a liar. So if I start teaching about the pattern of seven thing, and every time I say it, I'm thinking, there's something not right about that. I need to go back to the whiteboard and work it out. And I literally wrote down 100 cycles of the moon. And I realized that the cycles are random every time and that this calendar means bullshit. And I put it to bed after 7 years of thinking back in my head, like, is there really a pattern?
I love how you just did it. You're like, I need to figure this out. I need to know if this is actually real or not. So I'm going to do it. And you went out and you did it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, people say
to me, how many people would do that?
People say to me, well, was grandma really there? And I'm like, no, she wasn't. And I was so convinced that she was. And I was telling everyone that ghost exists. And but she wasn't. I can't believe something that I know isn't real. For example, people say to me, well, isn't it nice to believe that there's someone looking down on you? No one's looking down on me. I'm a fucking plant. That's just here. I can't believe something I know is not true. I can't believe in the pattern of seven thing if I can't find any links whatsoever. It was me linking the fucking links, you know? As I said, humans link the links. I saw 7, 14, 21, 7 times table. Pattern. It's bullshit. It's just, it's bullshit. Like, I can't believe something that doesn't exist, and I don't want to believe something that isn't real. So I will question my own belief if I find that there's a flaw in it. I don't mind saying I was wrong. I love saying I'm wrong because it means I'm right again. Like, I'm more right than I was last time. If I've, you know what I mean? If I realize I'm wrong. And it's not about
when you're wrong, you grow.
Huh?
When you're wrong, you grow.
Exactly.
Because you find out what's right, and then you're more intelligent for that. So it's a win-win. You're either right or you're wrong, and then you find out the right answer. So it's like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You find truth within yourself, and you become more at peace, which means you are more in harmony with yourself.
100%.
So being wrong means that you were on the wrong frequency. So being right, aka finding the truth, means you raise your energy. It's almost like less things to think about because you've thought about them. So your energy raises. People hate to be wrong because it's an ego thing.
And I like what you said there about raising your energy. And I believe through, again, meditation, as you just said, you have less thoughts. Less of that internal dialogue, less of that constant to-ing and fro-ing, less of that thinking about the future, thinking about the past. When your mind's more free, you have more energy. You have more energy to give. Your vibrational frequency is higher because you have that, your brain has that respite from that constant dialogue.
Alex, I have to go because it's my mom's birthday and we're doing stuff basically. But quickly, plug anything that you want to plug, website, social medias.
I don't want to plug anything at the moment. I got some big stuff coming, but not yet.
Okay. I'm going to press stop, but wait there and I will say goodbye. One sec.
Cool.
If you've enjoyed this episode, I have many more for you to listen to. So go back and have a look at the old ones. Also, make sure that you have subscribed and notifications are turned on so you know when I've released a new one. Follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. Have a great day.